Omarosa had it right when she said, Jesus ain't say that.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On today's show, we're supposed to welcome Todd Steer, who is a bisexual man who will join us, or at least we think he will, to talk about his experiences navigating our community as a bisexual man. We will have more with him on the second half of the show, and then, you know, hopefully we can get him on. We haven't been able to sort of kind of
connect today.
Exactly. So my name is Tom, and I'm your host, and as always, I'm here with my amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
So we have a lot that we have to talk about on the show today. We're trying to, you know, pile like 900 pounds of shit into a 4-pound bag, but, you know, we'll get through it. We're gonna do it. I was gonna say we're gonna plow through it, but then I'm
gay
like,
men are good at fitting big things in small places.
Yeah. That's the beauty of the rectum. It stretches and contracts.
Oh my God. Can't keep things nice. No.
I still can't get over the fact that Mama was listening last weekend while we were talking about you plowing and doing all that good stuff.
Moving on.
Is she still listening?
I hope not.
Speaking of which, I hung out with Bobby this weekend.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I did. Because Bobby was up and Chris had a game night. The night that you were working, so.
Jose threw the game night. I just happened to live there.
Yeah. Oh. And it really actually didn't really turn. I mean, it did eventually.
Eventually, but we had like people over, and some of them weren't drinkers. So we're all sitting in a circle drinking and chatting. I'm like, you know, game night started 3.5 hours ago. Maybe we should play some games because there's non-drinkers just kind of looking around.
But it was actually a lot of fun. We played some game on the TV. I don't know how it worked, but. I won once. So.
Oh, Jack in the Box.
Yeah, that's right.
It's such a fun game, yeah.
Explain to me what Jack in the Box is, please.
Well, there are these different mini games. It's like trivia games, and you use your cell phone as, it's like your remote control, and it's very interactive, and it's a lot of fun, actually. It's a free download on like the Fire Stick.
Okay.
So we were using that. It was a really cool time. We also played another game. I forget the title of it, but it was kind of like Cards Against Humanity, but it's with comic strips.
I have a dick stick. I want to download that game. I mean, Fire Stick, sorry.
Almost. Oh my God, I can't.
Oh, it's been one of those days. We've had a very, very interesting weekend. It's to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What did we do? What did we do Friday, boys? Let's start with you.
What did I do on Friday? I worked. And then that was it, really.
Christopher?
I worked.
Super busy.
Super busy.
Yeah. I worked as well.
On Friday we were going to watch a movie and then that's what happened. That's
yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So but that's boring, whatever.
But it was cute. And then, we ended up going to Dive Bar, which is our local little joint here right down the street from our favorite spot. And we had dinner and then we came back and we were supposed to watch a movie, but that didn't happen because, you know, things.
Nick's always on call. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why.
And Saturday was. Interesting at the bar. It was St. Patrick's Day, the official St. Patrick's Day holiday. And, you know, the evening really at the bar was just like very slow.
Fast forward 24 hours.
Ugh, but, you know, as always, you know, shit just happens at our bar.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a big altercation outside. I'm not going to get too much into it because there's a lot of like, there are a lot of juicy details, but it's not something that we want to talk about. You know, out of respect for the owner of the bar as well, you know, because we work there. And but it was a very interesting weekend,
to say the least.
What is Punch Jinx. Buggy?
Jinx? Punch Jinx? Buggy? That's when you see a buggy.
Oh, I don't know.
That's Jinx. You owe me a Jameson shot.
Okay.
I'm feeling like our energy is really low.
It's very mellow.
Like, we're not.
I feel very, I'm also very tired as a result of last night's, you know, extracurricular activities after the bar.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah. I got home at 3 a.m. and then I had to get up at 5:30 and then be at work by 7, get my boys dressed, pottied and all that good stuff. And, you know, so it's been quite an interesting day. But anyway, so we do have a lot to talk about. But before we get started, I am going to run a little promo for one of our sponsors. So we'll be right back. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Innovative Heating and Cooling LLC, a Connecticut-based business servicing the greater New England tri-state area. From maintenance and repairs to replacements, conversions, and even new installs, Innovative Heating and Cooling provides professional top-quality work for both commercial and residential customers. Call our friends Garrett and Kyle today and schedule your free in-home estimate by calling 203-283-7272. You can follow them on Facebook at Innovative Heating and Cooling. Now back to the show. All right. Well, welcome back. We're going to jump right into some stories, but actually we can't because we have to talk about our cocktail. I'm just all over the place today. So anyway, I'm going to, who wants to take it?
Chris, Chris,
you're the cocktail guy. Go for it.
You're the cock guy.
Yeah. It makes me sound like I'm the drunk. I'm really not though.
We're all the drunks.
Well, excluding myself nowadays.
Look at this bitch.
That's right.
She's trying to play nice now.
I'm not playing this game.
We'll just measure... Fuck! I was going to say measure the cursive. Measure the cursive. I should have known better than to use that. Anyway, yes, we're feeling very springtime today, even though it's still fucking cold out. We might get some snow on Wednesday, but today we're going with...
Sunday.
And spring is officially tomorrow.
Tomorrow, correct. I thought it was Wednesday, but...
It's tomorrow.
Oh, it is tomorrow, right.
Yep.
Anyway, so we're going with the Square Garden. It was, I believe, a Trish pick today. Yes, this is a nice, refreshing cocktail consisting of 2 slices jalapeno, 1 small handful of mint, 4 basil leaves, 2 ounces square, 1 botanical vodka, 1 ounce fresh celery juice, 3/4 ounce fresh lime juice, and 3/4 ounce simple syrup. You muddle 1 slice of jalapeno with the mint and basil, and we love herbs in our drinks.
We do.
Yes, we do indeed. It's very fresh.
It's like a salad.
Exactly. It's healthy. It's good for you. It's healthy. It's nutritious. Add the liquid ingredients and shake hard with ice, and then you want to double strain it so you can get all the little pieces of mint or basil so you don't get, you're not chewing your cocktail. Double strain into a ice-filled Collins glass and garnish with a jalapeno slice and some fresh herbs.
And it is absolutely delicious. I like this one, boys.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of our good ones.
Every once in a while, I come through.
Yeah. Ooh, about time.
I will cut you.
All right. So let's jump into some stories. So, Trish, you did our opener today.
I did.
And you have a story surrounding our opener. So why don't you tell us why you chose the opener and then talk about your story.
Okay. So...
Or vice versa, whichever way you want to do it.
I actually had a different idea of how to start this conversation. So I want to start this conversation a little differently than you think.
Okay.
So my first question, I'm going to put this out to you guys, is Mike Pence, he's our VP. If Trump were to get impeached, honestly, how do you feel about him becoming president?
Like most of the things in his state, he's not going to get anything done. And I'll tell you why. Because... you have 2 different men in Mike Pence and Donald Trump. Donald Trump, you say something against him, he goes out, he goes on Twitter, he does this, X, Y, Z, he crucifies you on social media, right? That's what Donald Trump does. Mike Pence, that's not his style. You know, he comes from that very old, extremely conservative, Republican, you know, breed. And so I don't think that he would be the type to lash out, for example, at the media like Donald does. Donald is very, he likes confrontation because he thrives on that.
Okay, Mike, but do you think that he would be better suited for the office of presidency, for our community at least, than Donald Trump?
For the community, no. For the sake of the saving face for the nation,
yes.
Absolutely. He is a professional. He has a backbone. He cares about the United States of America, where Donald Trump runs on ego. He is, I hate to want to use the word pussy because I want to sound professional, but our president is a pussy. He's a pussy. He can't handle,
yes, Chris.
He can't handle any backlash that comes his way. Uh-huh. He doesn't know how to discuss plans or anything with his people. All he does is take to Twitter. Mike Pence is a professional politician. Granted, he's a terrible person. I think he would be a much better president he would be a president. Donald Trump could never be.
Exactly. Hashtag not my president. You know, and just to add on to that, again, he tried a lot of anti-gay stuff in his state, and not much of it really went anywhere. And I feel that because of the type of
didn't he sign into law a religious freedom bill?
Religious freedom bill, yes. Yeah. In like 2015, it was a somewhat recent bill.
Yeah.
So the point I'm trying to make is that if something, let's say for example, if the Democratic Party was against something or against a nominee, he's not going to go on Twitter and be like, you know, oh the fake news and start, you know.
Though he does say fake news on Twitter. He does. Hashtag fake
but
news.
But I think that it's not him. I don't think Mike Pence has the capacity to actually tweet. I think actually it's someone
tweeting. This is true. I don't think he knows how to Twitter.
So, yeah.
I don't think he knows how to Twitter.
I think that, you know, you have to give credit where credit is due. I think that Donald Trump does one thing right. And that's use Twitter for his purpose, mm-hmm. you know, for his agenda and for his stupidity, and that's about the only thing I'm ever going to say that's positive about that man. I mean, right now he's treating our nation's highest office like the fucking apprentice, and you're fired. I mean, think about how many people have been fired or left the White House. About over 45 people so far,
and how many people have found out that they were being let go by him or. Let go, but not by him. They were hearing it from word of mouth that, oh, you got fired, or via Twitter. That you've been let go.
Like, Comey.
Exactly.
Let go through Twitter. Our last Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. Twitter. Mm-hmm. Found out. The man was in freaking Africa, like literally surviving the plague. I think he was very sick, and he had to come home early because they gave him a heads up. This is going to happen. He didn't know which way it was going to happen, but we all knew it was going to happen via Twitter. I mean, that's the man's favorite way of doing anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's literally creating policy through Twitter.
Right.
But anyway.
So the reason I asked the question, because we just like went on a serious tangent, is because John Oliver from last
week. Love John Oliver.
Yep. From last week tonight did a piece on Mike Pence, and Omarosa said, Jesus ain't say that.
Uh-huh.
In this piece because they were having a conversation about Mike Pence becoming president if Donald Trump were to ever, you know,
croak
or get impeached or whatever. And she literally said, I think we would be a lot worse off if Mike Pence was president. And because he feels like God speaks to him and he can just, you know,
he mentioned something about marriage being ordained or something about
marriage is ordained by God.
By God or Jesus or something like that. And Omarosa, they show a clip of her saying, Jesus didn't say that.
Jesus didn't say that. But the point that I'm getting at is, so he did this great piece. And he said when he started the piece, he's like, you know, for any Mike Pence supporters out there, I will say one good thing about this man.
After literally just going off.
Just going off on him about his LGBT stance from day one, which we all know has been negative. I mean, partnering with Focus for Families and, you know, whatnot. It's been horrible. But he brought up Mike Pence's one good quality, and that's his pet bunny, Marlon Bundo.
Marlon Bundo. It sounds like stuff that you would put on your face.
Yeah,
like, that should be like a facial line for you.
And just like John Oliver said, I hate to admit it, but that is a great name for a bunny.
It's true.
Marlon Bundo. Like, come on. So anyway, the point of this story is, they are going to be putting out a children's book.
Well, they did, right?
Mike
Pence put out a book.
Yep, and it's called Marlon Bundo's Day in the Life of the Vice President.
Uh-huh.
So it's a children's book. We don't know what's in this children's book.
And
but
we don't want to know.
What's even better is that John Oliver released a book prior to that, which is also about Marlon Bundo.
A better version of Marlon Bundo.
It's a better version of Marlon Bundo, and it's a day in the life of Marlon Bundo, not the VP.
Not the VP.
So, BOTUS.
BOTUS.
Who is the bunny.
The bunny of the United States of America.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Good save there, Tom.
Thank you, Tommy. So, he, in John Oliver's book, falls in love with another male bunny.
And that's amazing.
It's so amazing.
You know, Nick walked into the house. Of course, I'm trying to relax. I had some relaxing music in the background. He's like, bitch, turn that off. Turn on your TV because I've got to beam something to your TV because you got to see this. So we're sitting back and we're watching. And so the whole thing about the book is that Mike's version, Mike Pence's version of the book was supposed to be releasing tomorrow or after or soon.
I don't exactly remember the date.
But it was going to be released. So what John Oliver did was he sort of kind of got ahead of it, and they did their own version of the book. And as Nick stated, you know, it's in the book, Marlon Brando is a gay bunny and not Mike Pence's, you know, whatever Mike wants to consider his bunny being.
But what's even better about the fact that it's not that he's a gay bunny, it's the fact that he fell in love with another bunny.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't know what gay was or the bunny, what gay was or wasn't. He just fell in love with another bunny, and it was a male bunny.
You know, and the good thing is that this is an actual children's book. It's not an adult book that, you know, trashes anyone. It's just a really, really cute story. And the purpose of this book...
Are you about to steal my fucking thunder?
No, I'm not. The purpose of the book is to sort of kind of overshadow the negativity that freaking Mike Pence brings with his rhetoric. And so I will let Nick now continue with the story as to why we're thinking this book is going to be amazing.
It's about to get nasty.
So there's a kind of a call to arms with this book.
Exactly.
It's not expensive. You should totally go buy it. Buy it for your future kids. Buy it for your nephews or nieces, whoever.
Uh-huh.
Or just buy it because it's making a statement. And the statement is that Mike Pence is an asshole and go fuck yourself.
Exactly.
So the best part about this is, one, if we can sell more of these books than Mike Pence sells of his book, that's a what? Go fuck yourself, Mike Pence,
that's
right there.
That's like a double whammy.
But the biggest and most amazing thing about this is John Oliver's not making any money on this.
Absolutely.
The people that created this book they're not making any money on this. They are donating all of the proceeds to the Trevor Project and AIDS United,
which are two amazing organizations. We've talked about the Trevor Project
several
the
times.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, and if you're not familiar with the Trevor Project, what they do is that they provide some sort of platform for people who are contemplating suicide to have someone that they can call, someone that they can talk to, mm-hmm. so that they don't feel that they're alone in the world and that they have no one to turn to in their time of despair. And I think that, you know, what they do is absolutely amazing. And the fact that he's actually using this book to sort of kind of tell Mike Pence to go fuck himself, and at the same time using that to help the community
and the youth of the community and children of the community. It's a children's book.
It is like absolutely amazing.
It's absolutely amazing. So for more information or to buy the book, which I know all of our listeners are going to buy the book, mm-hmm. It's available on Amazon. It's available on Audible. And you could also go to betterbundobook.com because obviously this book is better. Mm-hmm. So again, that's betterbundobook.com, which soon to be one of our sponsors, betterbundobook.com.
Say that 20 times fast.
But also, what's really amazing too is if you don't buy the book or you don't want to buy the book or whatever, if you go to the Trevor Project or if you go to AIDS United and donate, I think it's $11.99 or $12, you'll get a free ebook for your donation, because I believe that's how much it costs.
Yeah. So nice. So that way, I mean, if you're not into children's books but you still want to contribute, that's a really good way of doing so.
And I think what really struck me about this whole thing, because, you know, I could give a fuck about Mike Pence, he's an asshole, but John Oliver not only made a stand against Mike Pence, but he stood up for the entire community. And
of course he did.
So vocally, and so it's just, the book is, it's funny and it's cute and it's great for kids because it is an actual children's book, but it's more of a statement about love and just letting kids grow and develop their own idea of what is right and what is wrong. And, you know, because
let them find themselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because,
you know, stop projecting who you want your children to be, because that's what you think life should all
and society's
like,
structure that has been developed over generations and generations that is slowly being broken down now because mm-hmm. people are more aware of what the fuck's going on. These kids need to grow up and understand that people are different, but we're all one people, and we need to work together for a common good.
And in a country where we already have marriage equality, I think we should get to that point where, at this point, you know, a relationship, whether it's something that you develop very early on, shouldn't have boundaries at this point. You know, mm-hmm. you should be able to love who you want to love, and I'm certainly appreciative of the fact that he chose the Trevor Project, because as most of us here on this table, especially you, Nick, have experienced a loss to suicide. And so you know firsthand what it's like to suffer the loss of someone that you love. Mm-hmm. And
as a community member, I mean, tell me I'm wrong here around this table right now. Like, when you're growing up and you're gay and you're trying to find yourself and come out, everybody thinks about it.
Yeah, it's
because
hard.
Because I don't want to say it's the easy way out, but it's the easy way not to face the reality that you're gay, and being gay means you're going to face adversity. Mm-hmm. And you can either come out stronger, or some people don't, and that's the shittiest thing. I mean, we need to get rid of the idea that coming out is a thing, because we don't need to face adversity just because we love somebody else. I mean,
or because we choose to
I love a different bunny.
Develop who I am. Exactly. You know, and for those, you know, if you're listening to our show and you're going through a difficult time in your life and you don't know, you know, where you stand, then you want to talk and reach out to someone, you can do so. The Trevor line is open. It's open 24 hours a day. It's called the Trevor Lifeline, and that phone number is 866-488-7386. And if you feel that, you know what, you can benefit from their services, call them. And talk to someone, because it is your life on the line, and it is important for you to be able to come out the other end.
And even if you're not thinking of suicide and you're just having a hard time and you just need to figure it out and talk, and how what's the best way to come out, or what's the best way to live a healthy, safe gay life. I mean, like, there are so many layers to coming out and being gay, mm-hmm. that it's very difficult, and it doesn't have to just be about suicide. They're about supporting LGBTQ people and LGBTQ youth as a whole. It's not just about suicide, but that is their main platform.
And you can call us. I mean, for some of you, you've been listening to us for 2 years.
Yes.
2 straight years. You know you can call us, and you have a friend in us, and we'd be more than happy to sit down. We don't even have to share your story. You can just share it with us.
I mean,
we'd be able to talk about it.
Over the course of 2 years, we've had an amazing, amazing interactions with our listeners. I mean, from Albert to Kim most recently. You know, there's just a lot of people that reach out from Canada, from Australia. You know, we've had people reach out to us from areas and where it is still illegal to be homosexual. And just to let us know that, you know what, we're affecting their lives in a positive way, and that, you know, they are strong, they're trying to be strong, but sometimes, you know, you just can't. And if you need to talk to someone, you know, absolutely, we can mitigate being able to listen and hear you out, and if you want to interact with us via email, you know, you can email the Gay Talk email, which is gaytalk2.0@gmail.com, and send, you know, myself, Chris or Nick a message, and we'll be more than happy to interact with you. You know, it's our duty now with the show, at least what we've built, to be able to engage our community in a positive way.
And if anyone lives in the vicinity of Mike Pence, I ask you please to check on that bunny, because I feel there's a very high probability that he has already sacrificed and eaten this bunny since the book was put out. So please go and check on that bunny.
There was
poor Marlon Brando.
I know. He's probably eaten that rabbit now.
So it was actually really funny. There was... So Marlon Brando has an Instagram, and there was a couple photos that were put up, and one of them is him sitting on a couch with this thing next to him that reads, "If you knew my family, you'd understand." And I'm just like, honey, we don't know your family.
But we certainly understand.
We feel bad for you, Marlon Brando. Mm-hmm. You can hop out of there.
Yeah, hop out of there and come to the Gay Talk studio, sit with us.
And bring your gay bunny boyfriend.
Exactly. Yeah, we always welcome everyone here, except Mike Pence.
Bunny lives matter.
Oh, bunny lives matter.
They do matter.
Gay can't. Bunny lives matter.
All right. So,
gay flamingos.
So, anyway, the important takeaway from that story is go buy the book, contribute to the cause. It is an amazing cause. What's that website again?
You can go to betterbundobook.com.
Hello.
I love that.
Or right. Amazon, or you can get it on Audible as well.
So yeah, do a good deed. You're doing two good deeds at the same time.
And make sure you're buying the right book. It's not Marlon Brando's Day in the Life of the Vice President. It is A Day in the Life of Marlon Brando,
which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So, Christopher, do you want to take the next story?
You really want to end it off on something sad?
All right. Well, I'm going to talk about something controversial anyway, so.
Go for it.
All right. All right. So, Republican Leslie Gibson of the state of Maine, who's running for state representative, ended his campaign after his disgusting verbal attacks on Parkland shooting survivor Emma Gonzalez. Gonzalez, who identifies as a bisexual woman, emerged as a very impactful and vocal proponent of gun control reform after she experienced a horrible tragedy at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. His comments via Twitter were homophobic and outright derogatory. He said the following, quote, "There is nothing about the skinhead lesbian that impresses me, and there is nothing that she has to say unless you're a frothing at the mouth moonbat." So I didn't know what moonbat was. So, of course, I had to look it up, right? Because, you know, we try to learn as we experience what is Gay Talk 2.0. And basically, it is a person with extreme left-wing political views, much like we call our right-wing nut jobs, right? So he came out and he said this about this young woman who is still in high school, who just went through one of the worst shootings in our history, along with, you know, other shootings like the ones that occurred at Club Pulse and Columbine and
Sandy Hook, Las Vegas,
and Vegas, yeah, it was bad, but I mean, these are young men and women who have experienced such a horrible tragedy, and to have someone sitting running for office who is supposed to advocate for an entire people of a state. And if you're running for legislature, let's say in the U.S. Senate or in the U.S. House of Representatives, you are trying to represent people. And that should include all people. And for you to come out and say something so derogatory about
Why did this person do that? Like, what was her? Is she anti-gay? Is she?
No, this is a man. Leslie Gibson's a man.
Oh, sorry.
Leslie Gibson was a man. I keep saying gentleman. I like to describe people as gentlemen, but sometimes I forget.
Maybe he's plain old assholes. Maybe he's butthurt because he's got a female name.
And that may be true, but one
Leslie
never knows.
Nielsen. I'd be happy to be named Leslie.
But either way, this young woman is, as I stated before, a proponent of gun control reform, and much rightfully so after what happened in their school, and to see the movement that has risen and the impact. I mean, when you think about Florida had not passed any legislation regarding gun control in over 20 years, and they now have a law on the books that says that you have to be 21 or older to be able to buy any type of machine gun, which is a step in the right direction. You also have to have...
Wasn't it rifle?
Rifle.
Yeah, because fully automatic weapons, I believe, are illegal. Except for certain loopholes where people can get them, but
yeah,
I'm pretty
like
sure
gun shows and stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. The language surprises me, but it doesn't surprise me their stark stance on this. When you look at the Deep North, their political views are no different than the Deep South. So it really doesn't surprise me that there's such a gung ho person running for the Maine House of Representatives. But it's their poor choice of words which led to him having to eventually drop out of the race.
So he did. So, you know, he dropped out of the race, and I'm happy that that happened, because we, as American people, need to protect our children. And the fact that our children are suffering at the hands of, you know, deranged killers going into schools and shooting our children, this should not be happening. And every adult, whether you're pro-gun or against guns, should be supporting the right for your child to be able to express how they feel and to be able to go out and be able to exercise their constitutional right to protest peacefully, to be able to make right what was wronged.
And it's just interesting, too. I mean, you see all of these people like Leslie Gibson attacking individuals like this. Meanwhile, the youth of America just did a national walkout.
Yes.
And how powerful was that? And you have to take t- take a step back as a legislator, as somebody in a position to support your constituents, the people of America. Take a step back and realize all of these kids that are walking out, as powerful as it is, they're still kids. And they're walking out because they're fucking scared, man.
Yeah.
They're going to school. They're trying to learn. They're trying to be a better person. And every day they go to school, they have to fear the fact that they may get shot.
Exactly. Yeah. And some people, I've heard and I've read things that people were downplaying the outcomes of walkouts and saying there's no point for it. And I'm like, that's the absolute best thing that people can be doing. These walkouts are an incredibly peaceful protest where their counterparts, you know, the white nationalists, the white supremacists and the KKK, when they have their demonstrations, they're marching through the streets holding torches.
Tiki torches.
Screaming racial slurs, driving cars through crowds of people. What these students and educators are doing is the absolute perfect way to show peaceful protesting.
It's one of the best civic lessons that you will ever be able to learn, that you would never be able to learn or pick up the perspective or the experience from living it,
mm-hmm.
from any book. That doesn't matter. But, you know, like I said before, parents, even if you're for guns or against guns, one of the most important things that you can instill in every American is their constitutional right to be protected under the laws of our Constitution. You know, for freedom of speech, you know, you have, for example, you know, your right to bear arms. We're not saying take away all these, all the guns. We're just simply saying get rid of access to these mass murdering machine guns.
And you know what I'm sick and tired of hearing? Well, you know, if you make them illegal, they'll just get them illegally.
Doesn't matter, but it's much harder. Someone's calling from Danbury, but I don't know who it is.
Oh, well, can you decline that call, please?
Yeah right?
Anyway.
But, like, it's not, like, yes, you're right. They can get them illegally, but it makes it that much harder mm-hmm. for them to get them illegally.
Of course. We
as a people shouldn't need assault rifles. Yes, I get it. They're fun to go to a shooting range and fire and have a good time. And shotguns are the same thing. I've gone skeet shooting and it's a blast. But, like, at the end of the day, if a kid can't get porn or cigarettes or booze at 16, 15, but you can walk and get an assault rifle? Like, if a kid walks up
are you fucking kidding me?
Are you fucking kidding me? If a kid walks up to you at 16 or 15 and asks for an assault rifle, as an establishment, as the owner, or as anybody that's sitting there selling these weapons, take a second, think to yourself, why the hell does this 15-year-old need an assault rifle?
Exactly.
And why the hell are his parents not here?
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. It's just, to me, it's just, you know what? I applaud these kids. I applaud Emma Gonzalez for her activism.
You know, I wonder if that was somebody calling in to talk to us.
I know. That's why I was kind of surprised you guys didn't answer it.
Well, it could be a bill collector. I don't know. Do I owe any money to anybody? I don't know.
It's the Gay Talk phone.
Oh, I know.
It should have been answered.
You just,
anyway, but this is a difficult subject, obviously, when it comes to constitutional law. I mean, people study this for their entire lives. And, you know, we're talking about protecting the Second Amendment and we're talking about protecting freedom of speech. And even if you look down, it's like taking it off course a little bit. But in Tennessee last week, their General Assembly, they knocked down the anti-neo-Nazi law within a matter of 36 seconds, where they were asking enforcement agencies to consider groups such as neo-Nazis or white supremacists as domestic terrorist organizations. So it's hard when it comes to that fine line of what is freedom of speech mm-hmm. and what is taking it too far. I don't understand how anyone could have a reason to protect a Nazi. I don't understand how any legislative group...
Well, given the history that we know, I mean, at this point, you know... With what was experienced in Germany, that was absolutely atrocious.
50 to 80 million people died.
Gone.
In the Second World War.
You know what I
noticed, there are
too?
People defending Nazis to this day.
I had a friend of mine who posted on Facebook, and I don't want to go off topic, but I want to quickly say this, that more time has gone by now, right? We have gone through more time now with the Berlin Wall fallen than it did standing up.
Meanwhile, we have an asshole trying to build a wall here, and we can't keep our bridges standing up.
Very interesting point to bring up.
Yeah, it's seriously.
The Berlin Wall fell in 1989.
Yeah, so the Berlin Wall has been knocked down and has been down longer than it actually stood. Yeah.
Tear down walls.
Tear down that barren bitch of a wall and put a window
where it ought to be.
Ah,
I cut that part short. I know that line, though. I actually do. I got my gay card back just now.
All right, so listen, why don't we take a break? When we come back, Christopher will jump into his story. We don't know at this point if our friend Todd is going to join us, but we'll try to reach out to him during the break.
Perhaps he just did call us.
No, I don't think he would have called from a Danbury phone number, but we'll call back and find out. Because, you know, we do want to be able to give a spotlight to our bisexual community, because I think it's important to know about what they go through and how they navigate our community.
Yep. So. It was one of my friends trying to call in.
Oh, who was it?
We'll talk about it later.
All right. All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. Here's some music. We will be back.
If you need my hands to pull you up above the earth, well, I will lift you up to show you just how much you're worth. 'Cause we need to be loved. So we need to be loved. If I had you here, I'd wear your heart just like a crown. And if it beats for me, then I would never put it down. 'Cause we need to be loved. So we need to be loved by someone.
Give up.
All right. Welcome back, all my gay talkers out there in the world. That was Anthony Starbuck, We Need to Be Loved, one of my favorite songs. I think I say that every week, but I can't just get enough of that young man's voice. It is absolutely amazing. So we tried reaching out to our friend Todd. Unfortunately, we weren't able to connect. We couldn't get him on the second half of the show. We'll look to rebook him, and hopefully...
Who knows? Maybe he'll call in.
Yeah, and if he does, hopefully I'll recognize the number and not decline it. But we do have some other stories. Luckily, we are somewhat coherent and somewhat functional at Gay Talk sometimes. So we still have stories that we can talk about. So
are we functional, though?
Well, you're questionable.
Yeah, today, anyway.
But, all right, so Christopher, you had a story that you wanted to talk about.
Oh!
Danbury is calling again. All right, let's find out who this person is. Hello there, you're live on Gay Talk. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, girls, hey!
Hey, hey, hey! Hello, Mr. Will Love, how are you?
I'm well, darlings. How are you?
We are in the middle of our broadcast, having a fantastic time, enjoying some cocktails and great conversation.
Yay!
The conversation's like a little meh today. Yeah.
I mean, it's a little strong, but, you know, we try to get through it. So how are you?
I'm super. I've been binging your show because... I'm awful, and Nick set it up to download when you started, and I just started listening at episode 59, but I've listened to 11 episodes.
I'm very proud of you.
Since last Tuesday.
Super busy.
Jeez. God, you're getting way too much gay. That's a lot of gay, honey.
I love it. I love it. It's so fun. My coworkers look at me like I'm crazy because I'm laughing at my desk. Like, what's wrong with you? And I just look at them. Oh, it's a gay podcast. That's all. No bigs.
So I know that you were calling in because you wanted to kind of chime in on a story that Tom was talking about earlier, right?
Yes.
But before you do that, my dear Will, our listeners are listening to you live on digital stream radio, but we're not getting you on the recording. So we're going to give us 5 minutes. We'll call you right back. We're going to let Christopher cover the story when I figure out why our phone call is not coming through our recording. Okay.
We'll be
right with you, baby. So, Christopher, while I'm playing over here, please cover your story, and then I will go ahead and figure out why we're not getting phone sound.
Okay. I mean, this one is not a very happy story, but it's always important to bring to light champions of our community, you know, here or abroad. So this was an article I found in The Guardian reported by Chitra Ramaswamy. I'm going to go with that. There was this woman, her name was Mariela Franco. She was elected 18 months ago to the city council for Rio de Janeiro. And unfortunately, last week, she was shot dead. She was in her car.
Holy shit. Oh, God.
Yeah. When she was in her car driving when 9 bullets struck her car door, and 4 of them entered her skull, killing her instantly. She was a champion for LGBT people, for Black people, and for women. And one thing that really struck me hard was one paragraph that this woman reported for The Guardian. And I just wanted to go ahead and read it just to make sure that, you know, we understand our champions of the LGBT community and always make sure that we never forget those who fight so hard to always be visible and always be woke. And it said, quote, "Franco was extraordinary. She was a fearless, charismatic, and popular politician with integrity, operating in a country characterized by President Michel Temer's all-male, almost exclusively white cabinet, in which more than half the population is Black, mixed race, or female. No wonder she had to resist all the time. And unfortunately, no wonder she did not survive." But she was always out there, and 18 months ago, she was elected to be the city councilor for the great city of Rio de Janeiro, and unfortunately, she lost her life fighting the fight for all of us.
Now, we've spoken about the violence against the LGBT community, specifically the transgender community.
In Brazil,
yep. in Rio, and it's alarming, and why is this still happening in a country where... is, you know, not for nothing, my understanding before the show and before being able to look up what really is truly happening to our brothers and sisters in Brazil, I always thought Brazil to be a very open country, someone that welcomed the world during, you know, during Carnival, and people would go there and have a good time. But I am speechless.
And it's a clear, targeted, premeditated assassination. But obviously, we had talked about Brazil before and the atrocities that were taking place, especially amongst the trans community in Brazil. But something that hit me hard was a quote that I always remember from Winston Churchill. And he said, "You have enemies? Good. That means you stood up for something." So it's in these dark times where, you know, many people have been assassinated for standing up for the common good. Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, and the list goes on and on and on. Mahatma Gandhi.
I mean, like you said last week, live your life so that the Westboro Baptist Church
pickets your funeral. Yeah. Exactly. So it's obviously sad that this woman was assassinated, taken from us, but she is, you know, put on a pedestal, and she will become a martyr,
of course,
for the LGBT community, the Black community, the women of Brazil and across the globe.
In a way, she could, I mean, to equate it with something for our country, she could be like a Harvey Milk there.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because believe it or not, you know, Brazil has a very, very large population of people of color. And the racism experience there is really disturbing. No different than here in the U.S., except that there, you know, these types of things happen more often than not.
Absolutely.
You know, like, we've come a long way and we've got so much more to go and work on. But it's scary how people of our community are being treated in Brazil.
The majority of, I believe it was the majority of trans murders across the globe are committed in Brazil.
Correct.
We had talked
about
that.
The largest percentage of trans murders are occurring in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I have always wanted to visit Brazil. But until they have a better record with the LGBT community, I will not step foot in that country.
And it's people like her that were working for that. She wasn't fighting only for poor people or gay rights. She was fighting for LGBT rights. She was fighting for everyone.
She was fighting for single mom rights. She was fighting for
a single mother.
Gay rights. She was fighting for Black rights. She was
an amazing woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'd like if you guys think that we can do this, have a feature on this woman and find out everything that we can and really honor her memory, because I think it's important.
I wanted to get a little more in depth of the story, but we were pressed for the time. But
let's Google, let's reach out to people, I think that this deserves.
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't we dedicate this episode to her? But I think you're right, Tom. I think we can do more work and dedicate an entire segment
episode
to her
and talk about her, you know, her many contributions to all of the organizations that she may have supported,
and see if we can reach out to some people that know her and that have worked with her.
I actually have, when I was studying, this just hit me as we're saying this, when I was studying in Munich, I studied with a couple people that were from Brazil. So what I can do is I can reach out to them, see what they know about her, because it's now basically become our duty to look a little more into this and talk about her and make sure that her message does not die with the bullets that killed her.
And you know, what strikes me most is, as you said, it's because, yes, it is important to go and fight for LGBTQ rights and to make sure that we are a vocal community and have visibility. But she was fighting for human rights. She was really coming at it from every aspect of life. You know, I'm a mother. I may be a member of the LGBT community, and I'm fighting for that too, but I'm fighting for so many more things, because there's so much that needs to happen in Brazil that is not happening.
She's a true humanitarian.
I agree.
And she will be remembered as that, and we will make sure that her story does live on.
And there's something positive too at the end of the day. In this article that Chris brought to us, hundreds of thousands people turned out to protest the murder of her.
And that's amazing.
It's
amazing that they did that. It's not amazing, you know.
Absolutely. Of course.
And like that in itself is beautiful, because those are the people that she was trying to protect.
Right.
And those are the people that we as a community need to protect. And it's the people that are outside of that norm, that thousands of people that are attacking And it's just, honestly, it's sickening to think about all this forward movement in the past couple of years. We get Trump into office, and I hate to say it, but like, you're seeing a ripple effect internationally, mm-hmm. and it's literally the truth. The hate is just building and building and building, and it's rippling out, and it's disgusting and scary.
It's sad to see. It really, truly is. And, you know, I think that we owe it to someone like this to be able to really get into the details of what it was that she did as a person, as a human, while she was alive, mm-hmm. and honor her death.
Absolutely.
So I think we'll do that. So we're going to call our friend Will Love back because we said we would, and I figured out exactly what was going on.
She didn't have it plugged in.
Yeah, I know. So we're going to call our friend Will and get him back on the line. And hopefully all is well in the land of Oz.
Hello?
Hello, darling. Welcome back to the show, and I'm so sorry that we had to cut you so abruptly like that, but we got you recorded now.
Yay!
So,
well, first of all, I want you to tell us about how much you love our show and that you've been binging it. Go.
Go.
I mean, I do love it. I really do. I've been listening to it because we're allowed to have one earbud in at work so we can listen for the phone with the other one. So I've listened to 11 episodes since Tuesday.
That's fantastic.
And I love it. And I laugh out loud like a silly person at my desk. And people look at me. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm listening to a gay podcast. What are you doing?
I'm surprised they can't hear Chris, you know, through the dangling earbud on the other end.
No, they just hear me screeching.
Yeah, I was going to say, her screech goes much, surpasses my low tones.
Decibels are, yeah, she's got decibels. So so you're calling us today because we were discussing a story earlier, and you wanted to chime in on that with us. So what do you got? What's on your mind?
Yes. So that awful Leslie person in Maine,
yes.
who after he made those statements, a young woman named Erin Gilchrist, who I believe is like 28 or 29, she filled out paperwork to run as a Democrat against him.
Yes, and, she did. This is a good point that you're bringing up.
Yeah, and she filed it on the very last day, but he did drop out. But that was only because another Republican announced that he was running as well, right at the deadline. So she's not running unopposed. So there's this organization called Code Blue. And Code Blue tries to promote these sorts of seats where they've been traditionally Republican, and now there's a blue challenger. So I just wanted to make mention of it because you guys have listeners all over.
We do.
And, you know, everybody can donate. You don't need to live in Maine to help donate to her campaign to make sure she wins.
This is for Gilchrist's campaign?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because it was saying that Gibson was initially running unopposed, and the reason that Gilchrist, a Democrat, entered the race was because she was horrified and embarrassed by the thought of him winning on an unopposed race.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So that's why it was really his comments that triggered her to get into the race.
See, and this is the beauty of being able to see what this rhetoric is really like inspiring people to do, to come out and put themselves out there and say enough is enough.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I am very politically engaged after the most unthinkable thing happened. You know, I helped start a social justice group here in Danbury. I ran for city council last year, and now I'm on the Democratic Town Committee, and I'm helping with local state Senate campaigns and House campaigns. And the level of political engagement is what gives me hope. That's what keeps me from being filled with dread and despair every day about every awful news alert that I get about some despicable thing a member of this administration has done. Mm-hmm.
So, Will, if you had 2 seconds or not 30 seconds or a minute to say something to the young generation of voters, right? And why is it so important right now that people come out and vote for these midterm elections?
I mean, change starts from the bottom up. So in order for any change to happen, people need to be engaged from the bottom levels up. So getting young people engaged in local politics, getting them voting for not just the big midterm elections and the presidential elections, but getting them out for municipal elections and getting them engaged. And, you know, every vote literally matters. Pennsylvania, they won by like 95 votes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every vote counts. And, you know, the young people, they're the ones who are going to save us. The age cohort from 18 to 24 is going to increase by, I believe, 2.5 million people for the 2020 election. So all you young people who are not 18 are going to be 18 by the time the presidential election happens. Mm-hmm. And that's what gives me hope, because they're all just as disgusted as we are. And they're not going to put up with it. And they've shown that they're not going to put up with it. But it's keeping them engaged is the challenge.
And I also think part of that is pushing people to register to vote. You know, if you're going for your driver's license, or even they should be, when you're, you know, registering for graduation or for getting your license, you should have the option available always to make sure that you can sign up for vote at the earliest possible time.
Tom, didn't you say the other day that during the national walkout, they had people standing outside registering people to vote?
Well, no. What ended up happening was that during the walkout, a lot of people knew that these students were walking out in defiance, and they knew that they had an obligation to be in school. Some of these students received detention as a result. But while they were receiving detention in their cafeterias, because it was mass detention, I mean, you think about all these students walked out. So what they did is they set up voter registration right in the cafeterias of some of the schools for students who are 17 and a half years of age, that by the time this midterm election comes around, by the time November rolls around, they are legal to be able to vote. Mm-hmm. So they were registering students right then and there. And they were also providing, you know, information mm-hmm. on legislation and what each state was doing within the schools. And I thought it was amazing.
I think, you know, it's funny. I think the administration that we currently have right now is, in fact, screwing themselves, because you've never seen such a young,
polarized
group of people want to get out there and vote.
I mean, they are ready. I mean, if they could have voted yesterday, they would have. I mean, they're very, I would say that they're really, really, really polarized right now. And it is an absolute beautiful thing to see that our youth, which typically, you know, this demographic really doesn't care about politics. All they want to do is, you know, let's go to the beach and, you know, and hang out with friends and, you know, talk on the phone or Facebook or, you know. To see them engaged at this level, it is an absolute, I don't think I've ever seen that in my life. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, when I saw these walkouts in school, I was at my desk, like looking at the news, crying, because I found it so emotional. I had a conversation with my nephew, who's in high school. And, you know, he literally, I sent him a message and I said, are you participating in the walkout? He goes, yeah, Theo, I am. And I'm super excited to do it. And I'm like, my God, I'm very proud of you. And then I said, are you getting detention? And he goes, no, because my school knew that we were going to do it and that we were going to be on TV. So they agreed that we weren't going to get detention. But then I replied and I said, you know, if you were to get detention for something, this would definitely be the reason why to do it. And it's a very, very good reason for it, too.
Noble.
Mm-hmm. And it was a very amazing conversation with my second youngest of the boys. But anyway, Will, you're still on the line with us. I'm sorry.
Hi. No, it's okay.
We
it's
get right. a little carried away. So, so
I hadn't noticed.
Nasty.
Yeah, it's the drinks, girl. It's the drinks. So, you know, you are involved.
I would say it's the passion, but that's okay.
That's true.
Passion
That's
fruit true. Vodka.
Yeah.
I'll catch you.
So you're obviously, you have been motivated to engage politically your community. What are your thoughts about the wave, the supposed wave that's coming, the Democratic wave that is anticipated to make an impact in 2018?
The blue tsunami.
Yes.
You know, I think I've been trying to follow a lot of the, you know, national races to just keep an eye and like see what's happening. Like Beto O'Rourke in Texas, he is putting up a pretty good challenge to Ted Cruz, and he has actually outraised him. And I think the last reporting, he had raised more money than Ted Cruz has. And there's Randy Bryce, who's hoping to win where Paul Ryan is. So, you know, I think as long as people can, you know, I think it's just talking about these people and making sure that everybody knows. And I mean, I feel like there are a lot of people but that are engaged, but political apathy is, you know, the undoing if undoing of our country, because if you look at the numbers from the presidential election, doesn't care one, because more people didn't vote than did.
Exactly.
So, you know, but I feel like everything awful that 45 has done is going to draw all those people who didn't care out. And they're going to, you know, they I think, you know, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I only got involved in politics because I took intro to politics in college. And I learned how everything is supposed to work and how the government's actually supposed to help people, and, you know, realize that's not what's happening. So that's when I changed my major to political science. So that way I could try to exact some positive change from the inside and be, you know, I tell people I want to be an elected official. I don't even say I want to be a politician because it has such a dirty connotation to
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm not doing this for the money. You know, every position that I'm running for, everything that I do, it's all voluntary. You know, I'm not going to run for an office that's going to be paid for who knows how long. It certainly won't be any time before my student loans are paid off.
Well, you know, Nick mentioned, because we all know each other, and I've known you for a very long time, and I think the world of you. Nick had mentioned that you had an interest in joining us at some point, and I think that we would have a fantastic conversation. And Nick, myself, and Chris extend an invitation for you to come on the show, sit with us, talk with us, and elaborate a little bit more on your mission and what you want to do. So that being said, I want to thank you for taking the time to engage with us and call us. And
I'm sorry we declined your phone call.
Yeah. Well, that was Nick.
I didn't say don't answer.
That was totally me. I don't know what I was thinking.
Nick was like, damn, Barry, fuck her.
Just decline it.
So either way, you know, we're extremely grateful that you've found our show and that you've engaged with it and that you've engaged with us. And you have a seat waiting for you here.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love it.
So we'll reach out to you. We'll set something up. And
it's already set up. It's done.
Okay. We'll get on the books, and we'll have you in the hot seat, and we'll have a great, fantastic conversation.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, darling. Thank you so much for calling us.
Bye. Love you.
Have a good night. Love you guys. But good night.
Bye.
Mwah. Bye.
So that was our friend Will Love, who Nick and I know. Person, do you know Will?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I feel like you will. When you meet him, I'm sure you'll know who he is.
Pun. Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Well, I look forward to that.
All right. It'll be fine. So anyway, so we've got several stories. Our guest was no guest today, but we'll work on...
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. So we've got more stories. I know that, Chris, you have a story
I knew you were turning it to me.
I really want you to cover this story because this is... It was recently in the news, and it was very impactful out in the state in which it occurred. Let's talk about this judge.
Let's go West Coast.
Yes.
Talk Oregon.
Oregon?
Oregon.
Like the trail, like the video game?
Yes, the Oregon Trail. Okay. Trish died of dysentery.
We'll
have to move on without her
times.
But yes, you know, it's going, because this made me think about the whole Kim Davis, Waffle House Kim situation. So, but it's good that this is having a domino effect for those who especially are supposed to be judging the law and enforcing the law, aren't following the laws, and they're not going to get away with it. So an Oregon judge who refused to marry same-sex couples has received the longest suspension in the state's history. Marion County Circuit Court Judge Vance Day showed prejudice against same-sex couples by refusing to perform their marriages, and he ordered his staff to keep the public from finding out about this. So he wanted to not only refuse marriage, encourage his staff to do the same, and hide it from the public.
I think he gets a big fuck her.
I caught on to that, Trish. You didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
anyway, continue.
The court ruled on Thursday that he would be suspended for 3 years for ethics violations. Go ahead, Tom.
Mind you, it's unpaid.
Unpaid, yeah. No, this man has been removed from the his court. There are even more serious charges that he's facing, along with, you know, not upholding the law of the land. He also allowed a convicted felon who was on probation to handle a gun, which is in violation of state law. And he lied about saying this. He lied saying that he did not know this man was a felon. And I believe that the person that he had, the felon that he had use a gun was to teach his own son how to fire a weapon.
What's this guy's name again?
Vance Day from the Marion County Circuit Court.
Wow.
Judge Vance Day. Now all the people are calling for him to be removed from the bench, period, indefinitely.
Oh, yeah, no,
absolutely.
He needs to be gone.
This is a complete violation of U.S. law.
I'm going to call law. Judge Judy. She'll take care of this.
Oh, I love Judge Judy. No, but seriously, I mean, and then to think about Oregon, to think about the state of Washington, California, these West Coast states are very, very, very...
Oregon's one of the... I believe Oregon was the first state to offer a third gender on your driver's license. I believe they were the first state.
I thought it was Washington State.
Was it Washington? They're like super close.
Well, they're literally right next to each other.
Yeah, geography like, and stuff.
You can hold them together with a leash.
There it is. Oh, I see what you did with that. I see what you did with that.
I'm sorry, but I had to. No, but you know what? It's at this point, good. I'm glad that that happened.
And he also made a false claim that he was assaulted by a referee at his son's soccer game. This just goes to show that this judge has no judgment. Therefore, remove him.
Yeah, he's got to go.
I mean, like,
he's got to go.
We all know the system is fucked up right now. Mm-hmm. But, like, this is a prime example. Think about all of the people he probably screwed over as a judge because he had a bias.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
And as a judge, you can't have a bias.
Right. And he's calling religious freedom. He's saying that they were, you know, he was feeling, what's the word I'm looking for? He was feeling that people were impending or putting their views on him. But you're a federal judge. Your job is to represent the law of the land.
Your personal views have nothing to do with what the law states.
Exactly. That's what it is.
And when the Supreme Court says this is the Constitution upholds this, which is marriage equality, as a fucking judge, your job is to uphold that decision.
Actually, and here was exactly 100%. I just want to clear. Day said performing same-sex marriages went against his Christian beliefs, and he claimed that he was being persecuted for exercising his religious freedom.
I think he's suffering from the Zachleys.
Jesus ain't say that.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I think he's suffering from the Zachleys, where his ideologies is exactly like his ass.
I don't understand. I am sick and tired. Really, you know, I...
Full of shit.
For some reason, when I was young and in high school and learning about history and in politics and all that stuff, I kind of fixated on separation of church and state. I thought it was, you know, the idea of it was smart, brilliant. It makes sense for the people, you know?
It worked for the Greeks.
What the fuck are all of these people doing? Quoting scripture or saying it's my Christian belief. I don't give a fuck about your Christian belief because you need to represent me because we put you in office. Like what the fuck are you talking about? I don't care about your goddamn belief. We voted for you for a goddamn reason. Now do right by me.
Yeah, but you're never ever going to have separation of church and state when our currency has In God We Trust on it.
Our
Pledge of Allegiance has Under God. You can't have a separation of church and state at that point. And this is what the very foundation of our nation was found on. Nations such as Turkey, as we found out, have an absolute separation of church and state. Lawmakers cannot enter their parliament wearing headdresses or any religious relics. We don't have separation of church and state.
What we have here, to be honest with you, is money. It's all about the Benjamins. You know, these massive religious groups are supporting and putting candidates forward to serve their agenda and to push their ideology on the masses. You know,
that's because religion is dying. And I'm not saying that religion doesn't serve a purpose, a very good purpose for people that can interpret it correctly.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is, Chris, you're right. Religion has been embedded in our government, in everything that we deal with from day to day. But at the same time, when it comes to everyday law, there is a separation of church and state. Whether or not it's being acknowledged, we as a people need to fight to make that acknowledgement.
But you said religion is dying, and I disagree with that immensely, because religion is not dying. If anything, we're pushing for more religious freedom laws in the country. The one thing where religion is dying is every year when you look to the definition of marriage, less and less people are defining marriage as a religious
choice.
That's not
what I'm saying. I'm saying that like the Catholic Church, they lose parishioners by the droves at this point. And getting nuns and pastors and priests in and to learn and to preach.
Why do you think that
those numbers are extremely low as well? I'm not saying that the idea of religion is dying. I'm saying the institution itself is definitely having some issues with losing people because they don't believe in something when they're attacking their own parishioners.
Of course.
I was Catholic. I'm not Catholic. Do I believe in a higher power? Yes. But I'm not Catholic anymore because I don't believe that God would ever put me down because of who he made me to be.
Amen. Preach.
Sorry.
No, it's true with that.
But I'm not trying to attack you, Chris.
No, but that's what drives so many people away from religion, everything that you just said. Be like, wait a minute. I was grown up and taught that this God loves me the way he created me in his image.
Funny story. Can I tell a funny story and then we could probably move on?
No, go for it.
So when I was in
Catholicism
classes, what are they called? CCD?
Catechism.
When I was in CCD.
Sounds like OCD.
We had to go to this one, before we all got confirmed. We had to go to mass class, a couple of these mass classes with the priest and whatnot. I remember sitting there, and there was another gay kid in the group with me. At that point, I clearly wasn't out. But
she can spot them gay kids.
But he knew, and he was so firm that he was gay, and everything he was hearing was bothering him. And he said something along the lines of, the priest did, talking about marriage and loving yourself for who you are and not acknowledging behaviors that you shouldn't and whatever. But the kid literally comes up, he goes, well, I love my pink, fluffy, sparkly stuffed animals. Is that a problem? And I'm sitting there like, oh my God, girl, preach. Because all I wanted to do was be like, I think I'm probably gay too.
No, a lot of people don't realize that, as Nick said, our religious organizations are losing parishioners left and right. And you can see because they are desperate at this point. Now, for example, the Catholic Church in certain areas of the world are allowing women to become priests. They're welcoming different perspectives and changing ideologies. When you look at the current Pope and his views on homosexuality
he's a good man.
He is. He's a very pious man, which is very different from what we were used to with John Paul II and Pope Benedict, whatever the fucking number he was. I don't care. But I was raised Catholic and I sang in church. I sang choir. Actually, my grandmother forced me to, but... she was an amazing woman, very, very religious, but I just really don't care for religion.
But even growing up in my church, I grew up in a Roman Catholic church. I had my baptism, I had my first communion, my confirmation. I never heard anything about marriage growing up that I can remember. I never heard anything about denouncing gay. Never heard any of that. Not saying that maybe at the end of the day, my priest still thought it was wrong, but I never heard anything preaching hate in my church.
Well, I mean, it's part of the Ten Commandments, that a man shall not lie with another
man.
That's
not one of the Ten Commandments. No.
Wait.
That's not a commandment.
Hold on. It's not a Ten Commandment, but it's...
It's still in the Old Testament.
Yeah,
it's in the Old Testament.
The Old Testament, that a man shall not lie with a man as he does with a woman.
He shall be stoned.
You know what? Beyond all of that bullshit, at the end of the day, there are so many facets of religion, right? I mean, Chris and I went to a Voices for March this summer, and they had a bunch of speakers, and they had a Jewish lesbian rabbi speak, and it was literally one of the most powerful speeches.
She was incredible.
And she is 100% about her religion. She's also a lesbian, and she's also about the community.
And she's an author, too, I believe.
I believe she is. But, like, it's there are facets of religion and people within that religion that are amazing people that do support what we stand for. That being said, there are a lot of things that people tend to, like, they use religion as a weapon. So we need to focus on the people that are using religion as something to heal a community and not focus on people that are using religion to put down a community.
And tear other people apart.
And when people do use religion to put down a community, you need to stand up and say something, because that's bullshit.
Exactly.
Because
like
no matter
Westboro Baptist Church.
No matter who you think you are, no matter what religion you're a part of, if God is all loving, if God is really a thing, if he exists, if Jesus is all loving, you don't think he would love you just because you love another man or because you love another woman or because you're a man born into a woman's body? No. He would love you for you because you are beautiful and you are perfect.
Right. The most influential tool to use has been known throughout the times. It's fear. And that's what religion preys on. They prey on people's fear. And so many of these organized religions just try to scare people to follow their sets of laws.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And that's what's scaring people away from the church, because people are starting to wake up. You know, 2018 years after Christ died, people are starting to realize, I'm not going to let this fucking asshole scare the shit out of me anymore.
Exactly.
You know what's really interesting? This is a random side note. That there are all these holidays, right? Do you know, ever since, I don't know, God, after Christ, or, you know, let's just say when America started or whatever, has there, like, there these holidays, there's no actual holidays that are supporting the new things that are happening. Like, we don't establish anything new, or we're just celebrating all of these old things. And yes, we should celebrate those, but why are we not celebrating all of these new things as well?
Like, this, I think we should have a marriage equality day.
Fuck yeah. We should have a Stonewall day.
Well,
yeah. We should have a Harvey Milk day.
Yeah, exactly. And Barack Obama tried to make that a national monument. And yeah, that would lead to it. But those are the conservatives that are keeping that from happening. But
like, these are all things that need to be recognized.
It's not easy to make something a federal holiday.
I completely agree.
And I'm not saying that you're wrong, but that's a very difficult thing to change.
It doesn't need to happen federally. If you are a state that has it within your power to create your own holiday, do it.
Mm-hmm.
New York, Stonewall is in your backyard. Create a national, you know, a statewide holiday for Stonewall. Yeah, and then Connecticut follow, and Massachusetts, and California, and Oregon, and Washington, and all
And then
these...
the Supreme Court will rule.
Yeah, and then we'll make it national.
The only reason I bring that up is because I feel like we're stuck in something that's like, we're living in the old ages with like all of these people that think that this makes sense still, and it doesn't.
People are afraid of change.
And
it's simple.
I'm afraid of change. Every time I break up with somebody, I'm on the couch for 5 weeks, but that's beside the point.
And she loses like 10 pounds, which is great, but...
No, I don't. I gain weight. I eat fried food.
Yeah. No, but but here's the thing.
Tally it up.
And I forgot what I was going to say. No, what I was going to say is this. Right? No, seriously, I forgot what I was going to say.
All right, well, then let's move on.
All right, let's move on. All right, so we've got a couple of things, two stories that I know I want to get in here today because they're important, they're amazing. The first one comes all the way from New Zealand, and that is Nick's story. So, Nick, go for it. And the second one is actually yours, too. So just run the table, girl.
Buckle up, everyone. This is going to be a lot of Trish.
That's not nice. Actually, the New Zealand thing, I put in the notes because I just wanted to talk more internationally, but Chris already did that for us today.
That's all right. Preach.
But I'll still talk about it.
Neighbors of Australia.
Yeah. So, I mean, just like Justin Trudeau in Canada apologized for the actions toward the gay community, the same thing happened in New Zealand. However, the government decided that they were not going to compensate these individuals that were imprisoned. So all of these LGBTQ members that were imprisoned for gay sex, or they thought they were gay, or they had any situation in which it looked like they could be gay, and they were persecuted and put in jail, lost years of their lives, lost years with their family, probably ruined a bunch of people's careers, were eventually released, but the government won't compensate them for that. However, we know that other governments have compensated, like Canada compensated. Hold on one second. I'm reading. So compensation payments of £3,000. This was in
England.
Yeah. For each conviction, and then £1,500 for every year they were in prison were also paid to each individual. Now in Canada, they paid $78 million out to these people that were sexually convicted or put in prisons because they were gay. And the reason I'm saying this over and over again is because gay rights activists in New Zealand are now standing up and saying, no, we demand compensation for these convictions, and they should demand compensation.
Well, I think two things, but I'll let Chris mention.
I just want to clear that up, what you just said. In Canada, it was 100 million Canadian or 78 million US to compensate members of the military and other federal agencies whose careers were sidelined or ended due to their sexual orientation.
Do you want the pen to stab her with now? Or the-
no, just because I have Canadians who email me all the time, so I wanted to clear that up because I knew that their records were expunged. They were erased from the public record, any old laws that people were convicted of. I wasn't sure of actual compensation, but now I see that. But
so, you're right. So only people in the... So Canada should really pay everybody. So they haven't. So that's...
Well, and who's to say that they won't? You know, it's a matter... Only time will tell how things evolve as more time goes by. But I have two things that I would like to say about the story about New Zealand. The first is that the fact that they apologized and the fact that they went on record to wrong a right in some way is a positive step.
To right a wrong.
Right or wrong is a positive step. It's a positive step in the right direction. But I agree with Nick. You know, if they feel as... has been demonstrated in many other countries.
Of course they... No, I'm sorry.
That
hold
they
on.
Should be
I'm
compensated. They should be.
They should be compensated. Now, it's just... I'm going to say this, and I'm going to make this... what's the...
Analogy?
Sure, fine. Okay. Whatever. So when...
Look at me throwing
when,
smart words
when
out
somebody,
there.
When somebody dedicates their life to somebody and gets married, and they decide... A woman decides that they don't want to have... They're going to give up their career so they can raise their kids, and the man is going to support them, right? Mm-hmm. That woman has just made a decision to stop whatever forward movement she's had in her life so that she could raise those family's kids, knowing that that man is always going to be there 100% to support her. When those commitments fall through, and they have fallen through, what happens to those women? They get paid money.
Yeah, they get alimony.
So all of these men that had lives, that had careers, that were moving, or women, anybody within that community had lives, had careers. They were shot down. They were put into a position where they had to give up everything and either go to jail or lose their jobs or whatnot. They need to be compensated for that time lost because they can never get back all of those years, and they can never move forward with the career or the life that they thought they may or may not have.
And I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. But just the fact that they've initiated that process of being able to even say a simple "I'm sorry" is a step in the right direction.
I agree, because I don't think America has yet.
No, mm-mm. I don't think America will not with
currently.
Not with this current president.
And also, like, if you look at some of these nations, like the act of legalizing homosexuality happened a long time ago. So a lot of these people are no longer alive. I mean, some of these people, you know, I'm seeing here, Canada legalized same-sex marriage in 1969. So a lot of these people are not going to be able to get any money.
But perhaps their
family can get money put in their pocket. Yeah. But the most important thing, because I feel, is that their names, these people who are now deceased and buried and, you know, in some people's mind, were remembered as being sexual deviants, their records were expunged, and they can be resting in peace as the good, decent human beings that they were.
The government is actually working on expunging those records. They're not done yet.
In New Zealand.
Okay. But, you know, you brought up a good point, though, because families, which imagine, Chris, if, say, for some reason, or for some reason, my father was thought to be homosexual, and he was put away for my youth. My dad supported us financially. My dad helped me through college. My dad did everything. Where would I be without that man today? That compensation, whether it goes to the person who is deceased or the family, is deserved.
And it helps greatly. And again, I agree with you 100%. These people should be compensated. But that's not where we are today.
Right. And I mean,
so
I'm
just supporting the
activists. Right, no, I understand that. I think at the end of the day, the most important thing is to clear their names.
Yes.
From the books of the land saying that these people were criminals. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the compensation. That's great. But to clear these people's names, to know that they're not criminals because they chose
to love
who they love, right, and be accepting of who they are. The most important thing is that.
And I agree with you. And that's already in place and happening. So this is the next step. And I think I'm 100% behind these activists in New Zealand demanding compensation. I think it needs to happen. Mm-hmm. We know that, you know, we're going to expunge those records and everybody's going to be cleared of whatever crime they may or may not have committed as a gay man or gay woman. But they need to, as a community, standing up and saying that's not enough is the right thing to do.
And it's a snowball effect. You know, we're seeing this in, you said the UK, we're seeing this in Canada, we're seeing this in Germany, we're seeing this now in New Zealand. I believe it was in Austria. This is starting, other nations are starting to follow suit and openly apologize and accept responsibility for wrongfully making these people criminals. Yeah.
Soon to come to the United States in 2021.
And it's, you know, it's actually really beautiful and powerful to think about that, because if countries are stepping up and apologizing, which is something that no country really has ever done, they've always stood by every action they've ever made, that gives you some hope for human rights,
yes,
moving forward.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And I'm tired of, I agree. I want to fight. Let's fight.
Oh no, the fight's over.
Darn it. All right, so.
No, the fight's just begun, actually. But our fight's over.
All the pens have been put away. The knives are upstairs, so nobody's going to get cut. All right, so we have one more story.
This is a happy story.
Yes, yay. This is a very happy story. So we did say buckle up.
So I'm super excited. So when I was an intern at... No, I wasn't an intern that year.
You were something.
I was working. I was working at a theater. It was Actors Theater of Louisville.
Dear old gay boy.
And I met one amazing man.
Uh-huh.
And his name was Corey Michael Smith. You, as our listeners, may know him as the Riddler on Gotham, which is, I believe, on...
WB?
Maybe? WB, yeah. Mm. It's a great show. Uh-huh. However, he's also done a lot of other work. He's an amazing actor. That being said, The Advocate reports that Corey Michael Smith comes out as queer. I hate that they use that as the title, but Corey came out and now is an amazing, talented actor, another pillar for our community, and another
a human.
Yeah,
who happens to be
gay.
Gay,
and but he did it, and he came out, and it was just so beautiful. So I'm laying in bed this morning. Now I know him. I wouldn't say that we're close friends or friends, really. I mean, we're acquaintances. But so this morning I saw this on The Advocate. And of course, right away, what did I do? I screenshotted it and I texted him. And his response was so amazing. So I texted him and I was like, congrats, you're amazing. And he goes, haha, thank you. It's been like being 18 all over again.
And we all know what that's like.
It's a weird week. Yeah. But it's just amazing to still see. We have been having so many people come out as gay that have a platform and have a spotlight. And this amazing man has that platform and has, yes, that spotlight. And he is so talented and he is going to continue to work. And he had the strength to do this. And it was just like, thank you, God.
So that's amazing.
So then I followed up my text message with, can we make it official? He didn't respond to that one.
No, but that's okay. But we did anyway. So to Corey Michael Smith, I believe he gets amazing claps.
Yep.
Fantastic news. So it's good when someone has that type of platform to come out and be visible in our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing work. All right. So we've got two more things that we're going to cover, which are our staples at this point in time. I will let Nick, take the first one, and then, of course, Christopher will move into
cursive.
I got the right end. Okay. We'll move into On This Day in Gay History. So, Nicholas?
Okay, clearly, because we talked about bunnies earlier.
Uh-huh.
This week's Gay Talk term brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
But it is. No. Is rabbit.
Rabbit. Okay, so tell us, what is rabbit?
Chris, can you read that? I'm not going to get that word right.
Oh.
Filator?
Filator. Is that it? Okay, a filator.
In Spanish, it would be fallador.
But I think it's like fellatio. So a filator, see, cocksucker. The noises from the bushes are certainly loud. Are the rabbits trying to bring back Hollywood? Question mark. Related term. Down the rabbit hole, into the mouth, and down the gully.
Oh my God.
Down the gullet. It's the gullet.
The gullet.
Sorry.
Down the gullet.
Or was that a misprint?
No.
He's the
right.
Gullet.
I read it. It's gully. It's gullet.
It says dullard on the name tag.
So anyway, this week's term brought to you by UnicornBooty.com is rabbit. And Chris, if you correct me one more time before we close out this show, I swear to God, I'm going to stab you with a pen.
You mean it? I bet I can fit one more in there.
Oh, Lord.
I bet I can fit one more in
so
there.
So this reminds me just very quickly of an era in our lives here, the gay community in New Haven, with Howard Johnson's. That's all I'm going to say. If you
the
want
the cruising spots,
yeah, yeah, the Hojo we used to call it.
Oh, I was thinking of the no tear shampoo. That's Johnson & Johnson. I was so confused.
You probably need some no tear shampoo after you're done with what went on in those bushes between IKEA and freaking what is La Quinta today.
I was born in 1992.
Yeah, it was already gone.
Is my response to that?
Yeah, no, you weren't a part of it, but I sure
was. Just corrected. Gotham is on Fox.
Mess. It said that in the notes. I didn't pick it up. Damn it. I should have corrected him. I could have got stabbed.
My God. Everybody's correcting me tonight. I'm getting text messages. Jesus Christ.
Who corrected you?
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
That's all right. No more stabbing. Right. Trish had enough of those this
all right,
weekend.
So let's move on to our next topic.
On This Day in Gay History, brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
Yes, it is.
Yes. So on this day in gay history, March 19th, 1987, here in the United States of America, the FDA approved AZT. It is the first drug for the treatment of HIV/AIDS approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Which is, I will tell you that this was a breakthrough then, because it was a start of being able to see the longevity that one who lives with HIV could have, a very healthy life. It really helped. And to think where we are today, we are literally at the cusp of a breakthrough with medicines and medication like PrEP and all these other amazing things that are coming down the pike that could help eradicate this disease or this virus that has really plagued our community specifically like no other. I mean, I know that AIDS and HIV is a worldwide epidemic at this point, and it's not...
And it doesn't discriminate.
It doesn't. It does not. But it really touches home with our community because, you know, when it started, the level of fear and the amount of people that passed away feeling unloved or not being able to be touched by someone because of disgust or because of
fear
because
they didn't know what it was.
What it was just completely, just utterly devastating.
Mm-hmm.
But to think of where we are today and where we will be tomorrow, I have hope that our community will have an opportunity to heal and the world will have an opportunity to get rid of this horrendous virus that has really caused havoc throughout the last 40 years.
You know what's crazy is when I was younger, so my best friend's family that I talk about all the time, and I visit them all the time, my best friend's mom was dating somebody at one point in, you know, my time with the family, and he seemed super accepting the entire time, but then one day, I don't know if I asked him if I could take a sip of a beer or something, but it was like he shut down and said, no, you can't have, we can't share a glass because, you know, I could potentially get AIDS. And I was like, what? Like, completely thrown off. So people's perspectives are so fucked up from that disease.
It's because they're uneducated.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think I've said this on the show before. My father has been HIV positive since 1983. And he contracted the virus because he was, and probably still is, a heavy drug user. He used heroin back then, and he got it because of an infected needle. But I remember that during the short periods of time that he would spend time in our house, I was prohibited from touching his razors, his toothbrushes, and things like that. But the explanation that I got when I was young was that because he had hepatitis and that I couldn't touch his stuff because of that. And then years later, I found out what really was going on behind the whole thing. So, I mean, it's personal for me in the sense that my father and I don't have a relationship, but that's for other reasons, not because of the fact that he's HIV positive. But nonetheless, it impacted my life personally. And so I understand the stigma and the weirdness behind the being positive in our community. You know?
That being said, there are so many ways to prevent it nowadays. Yes. And if you have any questions or anything, there are plenty of websites that you can go and get information. Truvada is a very amazing drug.
Yes, it is.
And AZT was in 1987. And this is... Truvada was 2017? 2016?
And I thought it was 2015. They started trials 2014, 2015. And then it was approved by the FDA for mass production.
Yep. So?
So, go for it.
And didn't Martin Shkreli make Truvada? Or didn't his company produce Truvada? Either way, that bitch got 7 years in prison while she cried like a bitch in front of a judge.
Bye, Felicia.
Enjoy.
Yeah, goodbye.
But also, too, I think it's important to know, if you think, since we're on the AIDS topic, if you think that you came into contact or if you had a condom break or you're just worried, go to the hospital because they can give you
a superdose,
which can put you in a position where you will not contract the virus. Yeah. So there are so many ways to prevent it. Yes, you will not feel good when you get that superdose, but there are so many ways to protect yourself and prevent it.
Of course. You literally just walk right into an emergency room, go to the triage nurse, sit down and say, this is what happened. I need to protect myself. They'll put you right in and do what they need to do to make sure that you're safe. Mm-hmm. So that being said, I think that it's time to bring this home. What do you guys think, boys?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So we've got some announcements. As usual, if you love our show, you can help us in one of three ways to let others know about the show and to ensure that our show becomes more visible within our podcasting community. The first thing you can do is subscribe to our show. By doing so, you could get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the show is published. Cursive. You can rate or review our show. You can do so on iTunes, on the Apple Podcast app, on Google Play Music for our Android listeners, as well as Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, and any other favorite podcasting app. Support us on Patreon. If you love the show, like our friend Will, you know, you can do so. You can literally go right to Patreon. You can pledge a donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Chris?
Next week, we are very happy to welcome Patrick Dunn back to the show as our co-host. Him. We've had a lot of fun with him in the past. And even better, Nick will be sashaying away down the Florida corridor, so it's going to be at a nice, quiet level.
Yeah,
you're such a dick. So, but he said, even better than Patrick Dunn is I won't be here.
Oh, God. I know. She's never going to let that go, Patrick Dunn.
Meanwhile, we got a Facebook post the other day that said they could listen to my voice for hours.
I know. Were you high? Amazing. You who messaged us on Facebook, were you high when you wrote that?
Leave our listeners alone. No. Trisha's going down to Florida to visit her family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we should say Nick. I think Trish will stay behind.
Yeah, no. She'll be in the studio watching you guys, making sure you don't fuck up.
Trish is still passed out on my kitchen floor from Saturday night.
That I wasn't invited to, but that's okay.
You were working and Trish drank your portion of the alcohol.
I could have taken the night off, but anyway.
I know you're not talking to me like that right now.
So,
Trish just made her way back here.
Oh, babies, relax. Simmer down.
So we didn't have a guest today, but thank you to Will for calling in. Todd, hopefully we can figure out how to get you on the show because we would love to still have a conversation with you. So,
absolutely.
That being said, Chris?
Can we put a rubber on this, please?
Two or three?
Several. Definitely several.
Yeah. Make it extra.
Only
extra,
use one. If you use more than one, they rip. Go.
Alrighty. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, you can find us on social media. Facebook,
stuff.
Gay Talk 2.0 stuff. Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0. Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0. Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
Oh, and by the way, Amanda Bussett is absolutely gorgeous. Oh. Follow her on Instagram, Amanda Bussett.
I take my all back.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, and follow us too.
Gay Talk 2.0.
But no one follow Nick because she's at $3.99.
She is at $8.99.
Oh, excuse me, $8.99. Keep it that way.
Goodbye, boys. If you need to reach out to us, you can head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser. You can leave comments, suggestions. Submit questions for the cast or an individual host. I said suggestions. Yes! You can also call us, well, unless we're declining calls, 334-GAY-TALK.
They're nasty.
And if you need the numbers, it's 334-429-8255. Again, my apologies, Will Love. I didn't mean to decline you. Trish told me to. Anyway, don't forget, we stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream on digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.